Amen. Amen. So I'm hearing you talk about your grandmother, your mother, and your dad in a high regard, especially being Christians and in the rearing of you as a child. So how was it like losing your dad when you were so young?
Man. So, you know, my father died in 1991, February the 3rd. I'll never forget that, you know. And usually I go everywhere with my father. You know, he died in a car accident. And what happened was, you know, we usually go to our cousin Chris's house together. I was 8 years old. He said, no, you can't go this time. Mm. And so, you know, I was like, okay. And so then I noticed that, you know, my father usually comes back, but he didn't come back. It seemed like for a couple hours, to me, it seemed like it was a couple of days, but it was a couple of hours. He hadn't been back, you know. And all I remember, it was 2 o'clock, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, my sister came in the room. My older sister, well, my sister Michelle, she came in the room. She brought me in there. She said, you know, your dad's got in a car accident, you know. And I said, you know, at first I was like, okay. I've heard of people getting in car accidents. Is he coming back? She's like, no, he's not coming back. And then that broke my heart. That tore me apart. Like, I would never get to see my father again. You know, I was bitter. I was angry, you know, for a long time. I say, you know, I'm 39 years old. You know, for over 30 years, Father's Day was the worst day to me, you know, because I say everybody had their father. Everybody could celebrate, you know, the people that I was around. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't have my father, you know. And so, you know, I know people try to be father figures to me, but for me, my father was a very important part of my life. He was one of the people that set an example for Christ for my mom and my sister. Because when he passed, you know, my mom carried that legacy on through him. And I know a lot of people in the Black community, they say, you know, our father wasn't around, you know, and I get that. But my father was around and he was present. And, you know, he was a mechanic and he worked in the hospital. One of the most valuable things I say about my father, man, is that he loved Jesus.
And amen.
He was cool and calm, like laid back. But when he started talking about the Lord, sharing it with people, he'd be hype. And it's like, you know, my father not only talking about Jesus, but this is why, you know, when we call ourselves Christian is a verb to me, because it has to be shown. How? Because what's the difference between the person that just does good deeds, right, that's not saved, and a Christian? And it can't just be about you talking about it alone, nor can it just be about the deeds alone. So I remember one of my best friends, my father brought a couple in and talked to my mom because they didn't have a place to stay. And he brought him in their home until they found a place to stay. And they live with us, you know, which is one of the guys who's my best friend now. But they lived with us for a while. And my father strategically brought them in and start taking them to church with us. You know, he started talking about the gospel. And that's the thing, my father wasn't afraid, you know, even if people won't say, people ain't want to hear it, my father wasn't afraid to talk about the gospel, you know, regardless of how many times he got rejected, regardless of how many times he'd be talking about the gospel to Jehovah's Witnesses, you know. Mm-hmm. He invited him into the house, like, hey, come on in here, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He wants something to drink. He'll listen to what they got to say. Then it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think or thought about this? And that was really the foundation that he set for me, even though I didn't want to live that life at the time. You know, I was introduced to Jesus outside of church. So, and I wasn't a member of a church until I was about 23, 24 years old when I moved here to Greensboro, North Carolina, where I reside today. And so a lot of the foundations of the practical things Jesus did in the Bible, I saw outside. And so, you know, I know a lot of times, you know, people will get off in, you know, what they see in church and cause them to leave the faith or cause them not to go. But I encourage people to look at not just the body or inside the church, but the person themselves, you know, and don't just base your salvation on the person, because you got to give an account to, regardless if everybody in the world was misrepresenting Jesus, you still are going to have to represent him.
That's right.
You know, because he reveals himself to everybody. The Bible says no man can know God unless they're drawn to him by his Holy Spirit. And if he drew you, then he knows that he drew you and you still reject it, then you still got to give an account for it.
That's right. Man, but we thank God for you having godly parents, and rest assured about your dad, he knew Jesus. So we know that there's no more pain and everything like that with his transition. And I like what you said, and I'm going to piggyback off that. I was listening to a sermon a while ago by Charles Stanley. He was saying that them my go-tos, Charles Stanley, Tony Evans. my two, you know, Tony. What I really have to get out. But I was listening to him, and he said that the representation of a dad in a household is the first representation to a child can represent God in the way that they do. Like, we are important to be leaders, to be godly, to influence our children and our household, our wives, and the people around us, to show them who God is and who we serve. Yeah. And that all works out with Proverbs 22:6. You know, y'all can look it up, but lead a child in the ways of the Lord, he'll never depart. So, you know, and listening to you and you talk about your dad, I'm just glad that his time with you, he left that imprint of God on you and your household. And that's awesome. Yes, sir.